If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
And we are back here on Paulistic Behind the Curtain, shifting gears a little bit to an incredible show playing at the Broadway Playhouse. It's all about improv. And if you are a huge fan of Dungeons and Dragons, this is the show for you. But if you say, well, I've heard of it, but I don't really know Dungeons and Dragons, then you're like me. And it's still an incredible show and a great evening of fun. The show is called Dungeons and Dragons, the 20-sided tavern, playing at Broadway Playhouse through September 28th. Tickets, by the way, at BroadwayInChicago.com. But joining me now is one cast member who's kind of been there the whole time, will stay here the whole time, and that is Connor Marks. And Connor, you were in the New York production, right?
That's correct.
And you've come here. You're most often the dungeon master when we watch you on stage. I'll have you explain that. But people probably know you from playing Ben Meyer on NBC's New Amsterdam. And also, you've got a lot of traditional things in your background.
Sure.
And some not so. But then let me say hi to Erica Ishii, because Erica, you've got that same improv background as well. Lots of crazy stuff in your background, but my favorite credential for you is doing Dropouts and being part of several of those shows. Are you friends with Sam Reich, by the way?
I would like to consider myself best friends with Sam Reich, and if you call him, he will have to back me up here.
All right. See, I'm a different generation. I know his dad, Robert. So,
yes, as well. His father, actually a constituent of my sister, the mayor of Berkeley. So,
oh my.
There's that familial connection.
Well, I'm happy I leave politics aside for this show. We'll talk about that some other time. Connor, tell me about 20-Sided Tavern. What happens? Because people don't come in and you don't tell us to turn our phones off.
Sure. It's actually quite the opposite. We encourage you to keep your phones out. So there's a piece called Gameiotix that is powering our show, and it's the thing that allows our audience to make decisions, to participate in the story, to choose where we go, who we meet, even how it ends sometimes. And it also gives you a series of, I'm going to call them mini games, little challenges throughout the show that dictate whether you help or you hinder one of our characters on their journey. So let's say Erica is facing a giant fire troll and they want to swing their great hammer. We might ask the audience to do a little challenge on their phone, tapping a button as many times as they can in a quick time frame to see how much we boost Erica in their endeavors.
And from the very beginning, by the way, you have, I think it's traditionally, unless it changes, but three actors who will play kind of these characters.
That's correct.
And the audience actually decides at the beginning who these characters will be, which means even somebody like Erica, depending on her role, might not know what's coming.
It's one of the beautiful things about the show as a performer, because every night that I step on stage, I have truly no idea what's going to happen. Just this past weekend, we did one show that was all about jazz musicians and the power of their toes. We did one show that was kind of a Groundhog Day show, where another guest star, Abria Iyengar, was trapped in a loop living the same day over and over and over. And you don't know, who's going to play who. You don't know who you're going to see or meet, or it keeps you on your toes.
So, Erica, you come into town. You are one of these guest stars spending a week here, and it's because you're famous and you do lots of great stuff. So when you come in, is this like what you're waiting? Is this like, this is the improv? I don't know what I'm about to do. That's what I want.
Yeah, it's so funny because this feels like it draws upon all the disparate disciplines of my life. So I didn't know when I was younger that Dungeons and Dragons was going to be a career option. So there's that aspect of it. I have an improv background at UCB. And then also, you know, I did a lot of stage productions when I was younger. And, you know, there comes a time when you have to ask yourself as an actor, could I actually make it in theater? And if you're not a very, very strong singer, the answer is no. But, you know, you still dream of the Great White Way and of being able to get up every night and have that energy of a live audience. And so this somehow combined all of those disciplines and allows me to kind of just drop in, and the entire cast has been absolutely phenomenal and welcoming in whenever we have a guest, and just making us feel at home. You know, when you're an improviser before a show, you kind of all go around and say, "I got your back, I got your back." And boy, do they have your back.
So you drop in and then you drop out. See what I did there? Improv group.
Hey.
Bonner, how does that throw you? And so if you have these guest stars coming in, I mean, are there have to be new rehearsals, do something? Because how are the dynamics changing when Erica shows up?
In the most delightful way, in the case of Erica in particular. If I may, if
She's a
you
riot,
forgive
first
me,
of all, so.
let me flatter you for just a brief moment. I think
Oh.
what is so extraordinary about working with Erica is that they are such a pro in, like you said, all of these different disciplines. You've got the acting chops, you've got the improv goofs, you've got the D&D knowledge. And so I know, being on stage, I can throw them anything. I can like lob something really high, a quick curveball to them, and they will knock everything out of the park. There's not a moment where I think, oh, Erica's new to the show. They're not usually here. We should put on kid gloves. We should sort of like help carry the load with some of them. It's the opposite. I'm actually trying to throw Erica under the bus as often as I can. I'm trying to mess with you in a way that is not designed to be
It's like
painful, but.
mutual trolley problem situation
Yeah.
in which we're having to constantly make sort of life and death decisions out there on the stage together. And it's really phenomenal because I think Connor and all of the rest of the cast have this storytelling instinct. I think it's something a little different too than, you know, the short form improv games that we still love and are great at. But it's the idea of being able to construct a narrative, you know, from start to finish, and to be able to catch whatever the audience wants us to do, and whatever we throw at each other, and sort of integrate it into a story that means something.
So let me, Erica, when you come in and you meet, and maybe you've worked with some of the cast members before, maybe not, does that matter? Do you say, like, guys, we need to go do a boat ride, we need to go to dinner, we need to do things? How important is it that you know the characters and dynamics, and I mean the actors you're playing with, to do what you're going to do? Or is it so it really doesn't matter because you're just going to interact well no matter what?
Well, I think it probably differs from actor to actor on how you interact with the rest of a cast. But for me, for my birthday, I came out specifically to New York again to do a run of the 20-Sided Tavern so that I could. And then they all surprised me. They took me out to karaoke afterwards, and yeah, we got really tight. I think it's one of those shows in which, again, there has to be so much trust between cast members, and you can see it on stage. You know, there's truly, I mean, literally people tossing each other around. Some of our cast members are quite acrobatic, or love scenes, you know, and just to know that everybody's on board for that. It's so for me, it was both important and just kind of happened that I consider some of these people now like true blue best friends for life.
I love that. Connor, you have a tavern keeper who you have to work with. And I think from an audience member's perspective who maybe doesn't know Dungeons and Dragons, we're trying to figure out now what's the difference between you, Dragon Master, and the Dungeon Master and the tavern keeper? You guys seem to be like a team.
Yeah, it's a little, the dynamic changes depending on who plays the roles. Every duo finds their own spark between them. You saw a show where Alex Stompoli, Stomp, was our tavern keeper. For the most part, I would say the simplest breakdown is that tavern keeper is rules and dungeon master is story. That a lot of what I do as a dungeon master is tying narrative threads together, playing in the scenes, and a lot of what the tavern keeper does is make sure that the game itself is still happening. So we talked a little bit about this. The show is kind of this collision of storytelling, live theater, improv, and Dungeons and Dragons. Dungeons and Dragons itself is a rule set that kind of just lets you tell a story, and we try to incorporate the game as much as we can on stage, the mechanics of the game. And yeah, so the tavern keeper makes sure that we're adhering to the rules.
Eric, it's really interesting, and because somebody will take over the Broadway in Chicago Instagram. Maybe you'll do that one day. And then people send in questions and stuff. And the recently, when Alex did it, there were all these inside Dungeons and Dragons questions, and Alex knew them all. He could respond to it. I was a little lost. Did you play Dungeons and Dragons as a kid, as a young person?
I actually had a group when I was in high school. I was given a friend in English class handed me a rule book and said, "I think you're going to really love this." And I was like, "A rule book?" And but
I'm not about rules.
I'm not. And but I read it cover to cover, and then it just really fired something up in me because I was already creating characters out of my imagination, right? So,
Yeah.
you were talking about, we were talking about people in our lives who just love to create characters. Well, what if you could create that character and then have some numbers attached to, well, these are the attributes that they have, right? So,
Let
if I
me
have a
so
character that's
I want to
like
talk to
really
you more,
clever.
Eric, about the characters you create. Unfortunately, the time of the TV show is over now, and I've got to wrap. Can you guys hang on with me a little bit? Because I'm not done with you, and I'd love to just chat a little bit more so people who go on over to WGNradio.com and the podcast platforms can watch us talk a little bit more about this show. Can you hang with me?
Absolutely.
We'd
Yeah.
love to.
All right, Dungeons and Dragons, the 20-Sided Tavern at Broadway Playhouse through September 28th. Tickets at BroadwayInChicago.com. If you want merch from Behind the Curtain, go to WGNTV.com/store and you can buy fancy mugs and shower curtains. Shower curtains. This is Paul Lisnick. Thanks for watching us Behind the Curtain. And we are back on Paul Lisnick Behind the Curtain with our bonus conversation with Connor Marks and with Erica Ishii as we're talking about the 20-Sided Tavern. Erica, I had to so rudely kind of step in while you were telling me about the characters you got to play when you were younger because they kind of come in through here. But now the time clock is off, the TV time clock is off, and we can talk. So go back, tell me about these characters you created. And by the way, do some of them sort of show up now as you take the stage here in Chicago? Will Connor see some of these past characters for you?
Well, what's fun about the show is that there are, as you remember, three choices for each character of what I could be. And I can bring my own interpretations to each of those characters. But as I was saying, it's nice because they have statistics, that tell you. Now, I'm not a numbers person, but they are very useful for sort of telling you the physics of how this world works, right? So this character that I'm playing is a little slow, but very, very strong and very, very charismatic. And I actually have numbers tied to that that tell everybody involved, like, this character is about a 20 strong and about a 9, about a 9 smart. And it just sort of serves as a framework for being able to tell the story because when you're telling a story, sometimes there's elements of chance or elements of mystery and surprise. And so you find out how to improvise those certain moments based on some of these numbers.
Kind of during the game, people are rolling dice, right? And then if you win there's a special die which has just a 20 or a 1 on it, and whatever. So a couple of things. Number one, for folks like me who like, I get it. I mean, I get the 21. I get 20 is great, right? So I can get it at a basic level, but I didn't live the game of those kinds of dice. For people who are playing Dungeons and Dragons for real in their world, are they rolling dice? Are they doing the same kind of things you're doing on stage?
Yeah, it's a pretty faithful recreation of what it's like to be around a Dungeons and Dragons table. And I mean that both mechanically speaking, as well as the social dynamics, will razz each other in similar ways. We'll sort of pop, it's called above table for a second, and talk about what we're doing and why. There's a fluidity with which we can go in and out of character. So, what I would say for people who have never played Dungeons and Dragons before, and at the very beginning of our show, we usually get a show of hands. We ask who's coming to D&D for the very first time. And it's usually a 50-50 split. And the kind of key that we try to give is high number good, low number bad. And that's just a way to kind of, you know how sometimes you do your best creative work when there are constraints and limitations? If we didn't have those dice and it was just imaginative play, then you could say, I have a infinite power, super decapitation sword, and everyone that I see, I decapitate. And it's like, okay, well, that's maybe a little too strong. And your friend says, well, I have a super neck guard times a million, and I could never be decapitated. And so the dice just give us a way to funnel the story in the way that you pour water into a certain vessel and then it holds that shape. But really, the numbers don't matter. The math doesn't matter. The rules, and this is maybe a little heretical, don't really matter insofar as they are just structure, a frame for us to tell this story and make some dumb jokes on the way.
And Erica, so here's something that I, as somebody who didn't grow up playing Dungeons and Dragons, I got something wrong, and my partner kind of corrected me on this, which was, number one, I thought, okay, who's going to win this thing? And he said, no one's winning. There's a team thing going on here. And then number two, and this I don't know, but one of the characters the night I saw it, Diego was the actor who played him. He was blue. It looked like he was about to die, but I mean, his character was about to die, but in the end, like he didn't die. So my question for you is, number one, is it true? No, it's not about winning. It's about teamwork. And number two, Diego would have never died that night. We would have found a way to save him. Or might it be that Diego's character before the game is done, might have died.
Well, number one, I would say that. Oh, I'm so sorry. I forgot the first part of that question. But the important part for me is that Diego could have absolutely died. I think the rules are different from table to table, in that but generally there are actual rules and mechanics for how people can die, or how you could possibly resurrect them, or what happens when they move on to the next life. And it gives things a feeling of stakes, that wouldn't necessarily be there if you didn't have these rules. And
So my first part of my question was teamwork versus winning.
yes. So the objective I think of for Dungeons and Dragons and a lot of tabletop games is to tell a collaborative story with your friends. And so as long as you're doing that and everyone's having a good time, we all win. And I think one thing that, my friend Abria Iyengar does so masterfully is to lose compellingly. Because, we say high number good, low number bad, but really it just means that high number is a success and low number is a failure. But in life, sometimes we learn from failures, or you can't have a compelling story without some failure, right? So truly the goal of any of these games is to tell a story together, and it just happens to be bound by the, as Connor so beautifully put it, like this vessel to hold it.
And Connor, there's lots of props on the side of the stage, and so my question, I'm guessing, like Erica, she'll know what the props are. So, is it does every night or do those same props get used over and over, or do you think part of the thinking of the players is, I know I have a cow head, I mean, I got what's going on tied to the props?
I would say the props are the second thought. They're the thought that follows. So we have a treasure chest, just sort of a trunk of goodies. And as these imaginative worlds come to life, and you meet a like a cow-headed squid monster. Okay, well, we don't have a cow-headed squid monster costume or prop, but we can pull out these scarves and pool noodles and little bovine horns and whatever, and make something. It's very playful. It's very silly, and I think it leads to a lot of fun.
Oh, that's fun. So, Erica, that would mean if you were going to be the cow-headed squid monster, you make that decision, and then you go to the prop world and say, what will work to make this even suggest that character?
Truly, it is. This is like playing make believe with your friends, And so you don't, when you're at home and you have this costume closet, you pull out whatever you can to make it work. And Connor, I have seen do things like he has the little dealy boppers, and he used that as snail eyes one time and put a backpack on to be his shell. A couple of props do make their way on to the stage reliably, like Connor has a feather boa, an orange feather boa that is almost always his beard, and it's there's a feel of playfulness to it, and you can see the design of the set as well is the idea of sort of almost like a clubhouse, a kid's clubhouse that evokes that feeling of just playing pretend.
Pee-wee's Playhouse. He would have been happy with this, right?
Oh, yes, I loved Pee-wee's Playhouse when I was. Yes, right on the money.
And Connor, you know, there's times we see the characters on stage laughing or whatever. And that's what Erica just said suggests to me. That's not fake laugh. That's not whatever. I mean, that sounds like you guys do crack each other up because you're all funny.
Oh, it's the absolute best part of my night. We're laughing in every show with what's going on, and there are certain special moments where a joke will truly break us to the point where we cannot really continue on with the show, and we just have to laugh it out for a second. And that's, I think, what's so fun about improv, that it's not lip service when I say it's a surprise every night. I'm not pretending to be surprised or pretending to be amused. I am on stage with four other brilliantly funny folks who have the chance to really crack me up in a way that will make me sort of lose it.
It's really great. Sometimes the game is, in improv, they say it's like, what's the game? And the game of a scene will be make Connor crack up.
Oh, we like that.
Yes,
Yeah.
yes.
And Erica, it sounds like this could be for both of you, but it sounds like you don't mind breaking that fourth wall. In fact, in this show, you have to break the fourth wall.
Very much so, yes. It's again, you exist in the world of the narrative, and then there's this sort of out of character moments, the above the table, it's called in D&D, or out of character for improv. And because it's such an interactive show with the audience, there is, I mean, there really isn't much of a fourth wall anymore because we directly ask them to be part of it. It's almost like the grand tradition of pantomime or asking the audience to clap to keep Tinkerbell alive. It's that feeling of letting them be part of the story with us.
And Connor, finally, so if people have seen the show, I've seen it a couple of times. Do you agree this is the kind of show you can come over and over again because you're not going to see the same show twice?
It is truly, truly, truly a different show every night. We know a couple of things in order to support the show with some really beautiful tech and illustrations. We know the show starts in a tavern called the Curious Hedgehog. We know that the show ends underground in a sort of a sarcophagus. How we get from A to B, I think that there are, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of potential iterations of the show. You will not, cannot see the same show twice.
And Eric, I imagine that's why you wanted to come to Chicago in this guest starring role, spend a week here, just have some fun, and then do it again one day.
I would do this show until I die with these wonderful people. It is truly an honor to be able to grace the stage. And in Chicago with these lovely, lovely, hilarious humans.
This is a theater town. You know, I often say to some of the stars that'll come on here, you know, it's one thing to do this show in New York where you've done it, Connor, and I guess Erica, perhaps you've also performed in the New York show. But you know, New York is also a tourist town, right? I mean, so what do you do when you go to New York? You go to the Empire State Building and you go see a show. But in Chicago, we see a show because we want to see a show, because we are a theater city. Oh, I guess I'll use this as a final question. But do you notice the difference? Do you notice, and the proper answer is yes. Do you notice that Chicago audiences are a bit more sophisticated and get it more than maybe in some other places that you play this show, Connor?
Tell me the more sophisticated than what?
Well, more sophisticated, that we get it, that we get
Get it.
theater in a better way than you might in New York. With all due respect to New York, I love New York.
I will say this, as someone who also not only loves New York, but lives in New York and did the show for a year in New York and had a wonderful time. Chicago audiences come alive. The first time we came out and started the show, it was raucous, just a thunderous crowd who is so clearly, whether they've ever played D&D or not, here for it. They're yelling, they're laughing, they're screaming, and ne never obtrusively, never in a way that interrupts, in a way that just says, like, we are, yeah, Chicago. It's truly thrilling. It's a lot of adrenaline. They give us a lot, the Chicago audiences, so far.
And of course, you have to live in New York because you're on every CIS show that there is out there, right? Ever the victims and the whatever, and the you're
Gotta,
killing
you know,
somebody
gotta
somewhere.
pick, gotta play those cold bodies on a slab.
Body
And
Connor, they
Erica,
call them.
I know you love Chicago itself, but just give me a word about the Chicago audiences, who maybe we bring in our Garrett's caramel corn cheese corn mix, maybe we bring in deep dish pizza while we're watching you. I don't know.
It's really interesting to see, because I'm from Los Angeles, and that's not really that much of a theater town, or at least not considered a theater town. But In New York, I think that either you are a tourist, or you are a sort of a New Yorker who has seen a lot of shows. But I think in Chicago, something like this is, as you said, a choice, a deliberate choice. People have decided to come in and are excited to be a part of it. And I think there's also, again, that grand tradition of sort of improv, that like raucous improv. Again, in like New York, it's a little quieter, and there are certain rules for being an audience member. But yeah, very, very excited to have, and excited for anybody who might want to bring me a deep dish pizza. I will eat it on stage. That too is part of real Dungeons and
Well, and I
Dragons.
guess you probably could in this show.
Can I offer you something, Erica? And maybe you are well many steps ahead of me, and you already know this. I came in thinking, okay, deep dish pizza, that's the thing I got to get. The Italian beef?
Beef. Yeah, I have also heard,
My.
and Portillo's cake shake.
I
No,
having
Portillo's
had.
chocolate cake.
If anybody would like to bring us any of these items, we will eat it live on stage.
Yeah, for no extra charge.
For
Oh, I
no
love it. Yeah. They'll get thrown out for bringing it in, but no extra charge for you. Well, once again, Dungeons and Dragons, 20-Sided Tavern, playing at the Broadway Playhouse. That's right at Water Tower Place. You can shop before it. In fact, by the way, go to Harry Caray's on the 7th floor and eat some of the Harry Caray food up there as well. You'll like that, including the homemade chips. That's a whole other thing. But you can see this show through September 28th. Erica here for part of September. But you know what? If you don't see Erica, you'll see another guest star who shows up. It's good. It's just a great night, whether you see it or not, with the fabulous Erica Ishii. And again, Connor Marks, we're going to see you no matter when we come. So that's a good thing. You can get tickets at BroadwayInChicago.com. Thank you both for being with me. Break legs every night. And what a fabulous, fun, and different show. It's been in Chicago before. I'm glad it's back. I hope it comes back again. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for having us, Paul.
And thanks for joining us here on Paul Lystig Behind the Curtain. Bye-bye.